RSN, Hot to Trot. Welcome to the Good Form Panel.
And g'day from JT. Welcome to the Good Form Trot Panel for this Friday night. A good card of racing at Tabcorp Park Melton on this evening, but we're just going to bypass that and go straight to our Tab Super Sunday because it is a massive day at Tabcorp Park Melton on Sunday. It is Breeders' Crown Day, and let's get the A-team in to have a detailed look at all the Group 1 races on Sunday. That's Jason Bonington and Blake Redden from the Good Form team. How are you, lads?
Extraordinarily good, thanks, JT. Very much looking forward to this unbelievable program. It really is a highlight. We love the Vic Bred Super Series. The Summer of Glory is terrific, of course, but Breeders' Crown, there's something really special about it, and it is a grand final, end-of-season celebrations, and those eight Group 1s, Blake, in particular, that three-year-old Colts and Geldings Decider between Meningate, the Burchard Bull, the Burchard Brute, whatever you want to call him, Follow the Stars, who's been heavily backed, and a couple of horses in there that I think might be able to maybe blouse the Glamour Duo. So a terrific 10-race program coming up, 11-race program coming up on Super Sunday. You excited, Blake?
Oh, it's so exciting, Bonas. This is it. You're right, it's grand final day, but it's not just the end of the season. It's the start of a new season. Spring has sprung. We're up and about. It's going to be a good day out there on Sunday at Tabcorp Park Melton. And eight Group 1s, a couple of Group 2s that are probably deserving of almost Group 1 status in theory. It's going to be very, very exciting stuff. There's going to be a proliferation of odds on favourites, but that will be offset by the fact that at least a couple of them will get rolled and there will be some big results. So I think the racing will be very exciting.
Saw you boys in action up at Bray Raceway on Saturday night. Couple of observations. What price we see you both in a tie again on Sunday?
$1.04. I'd take it too.
Sadly, it'll be a very strong double. I'd say very, very short odds.
And any chance of you getting photobombed by Austin Powers again?
Bit harsh.
Will and Steve, but I must say the resemblance is stunning when you put them up side by side, as JT did for me before the show. Very stunning resemblance, to be honest. Great to be mixing with celebrities like Mike Myers out there at Bray Raceway.
Yeah,
that was a terrific night. Yeah, baby.
Imagine him swinging in a cart with Gav Lang. Yeah, baby.
Tell you what, well, apparently Blake's the new ideas man at HRV, so he'll take that and run with it, and he'll give you no credit whatsoever once he gets it done.
Vincent Silvestro with the fireworks.
What do you mean no credit? This is my idea. John, I've come up with an idea. We have, I'm not going to call them placards, but they are sort of hanging from the roof, Breeders' Crown merchandise type thing, cardboard cutouts, if you like, of people and places.
Well, they're not people. It's Greg Sugars, Gavin Lang, Kieran Manning and Kate Gath.
Yeah. That's the four. And my idea was we take them off the roof, and on Super Sunday, I'm going to take them out there with a gold pennant after each race. I'm going to get the drivers and the trainers to sign them.
Winning drivers and trainers, yes.
Winning drivers and trainers, and we can maybe give them away for charity, or maybe I'll take one home if I like the winner of the race, whatnot. But it's a good idea, I think, Bonas.
So he's good for something. His form analysis is... Now he's pitching himself as an idea.
I need to be versatile because I don't have a job in form forever.
That's right.
Next he'll be calling himself Carsten. Carsten.
He calls himself a few things, as a matter of fact, including Leonardo DiCaprio, but we move on.
You can see it, though, can't you, John?
No. Okay. Let's get down to finding our listeners some winners.
Hello to all the female listeners out there too, by the way.
First race on Sunday is the consolation for the four-year-olds. Jedi Mind's $1.60. Smoky Court's $3.50. Lost in Bangkok at $9. And Provocateur is a $10 shot. All those markets up with Tab. And hey, well done to Tab because they had the markets up. We had Hamo on air on Monday afternoon with all the big four markets after they had been released. So you punters have had plenty of time to jump on. I'll bounce the ball with you, Jason, for some serious analysis to get the benchmark up. Who's going to win the first?
Look, it's not the whole lot race on the program, but I think Jedi Mind will get the job done for Amanda Turnbull. Speed maps are interesting here. Lost in Bangkok gets out well. So does Better Than Best. I think there'll be a good charge into the first turn. If Better Than Best gets the top, and I expect it probably will, it'll be looking to hand up once the pressure comes to bear. And if Amanda Turnbull is ready to roll, she'll be able to work forward, I think, and find the front first. Smoky Courts will probably end up in the breeze, and they're the best two horses in the race, so they should fight it out. I'm going with Jedi Mind, clearly on top. I marked it flip of the coin. I expect a good start shorter. Second tip is Smoky Courts. He's a class animal, but he's had a number of problems and he's probably not anywhere near fulfilling what his potential looked like it was going to be early doors at the minute. Better than best purely on the proviso that it leads then trails. And then Black Tie Lightning's an interesting runner. 4 years of age, only had the two starts, smashed his rivals at Warragul last start, but steps up in grade, Blakey Boy.
Yep, I can't add too much to the conversation here, aside from the fact that I do think Jedi Mind is in some ways beatable. Smoky Court's the obvious to do it. If Lost in Bangkok hadn't have drawn the pole and had drawn, say, Barrier 2, Give Me a Spell, who now gets a run in the final, was in this race, I think he could have improved because he's a horse that just wants to go one pace the whole way. He's pretty tough, but if he gets locked away on the pegs and it's a sprint home, it's probably not going to suit him as much. Look for him in the next couple of starts after this, though. But, yeah, I couldn't add much to it other than Jedi Mind looks the horse to beat. Smoky Courts is the obvious danger and is a little knockout hope regardless. Probably get in, settle in for the first race, and then have a look at race two because I think it's a much better punting race.
All right, let's look straight towards race two. This is the fillies division of the Breeders' Crown. And during the week, big gate speed. And one of your guests was Mark Purden.
Follow the stars, you'd be expecting to get to the pegs first. Now, you hand it up to Menengate in the semi-final. That was in a race where he hadn't had a run for a fair while. He was pretty fresh for that. I'm sure you think you're better since that day. When Chris Alford comes knocking and he applies the pressure, what's going to happen? Tell us what your thought process will be.
Sometimes you just got to evaluate it at the time, but I think...
Don't tell him, Mark.
I'm sure Chris will be coming out hard too, and maybe that'll be their intentions, but at this stage, no, I'd like to be staying in front.
Well, you say that, Mark, but the one thing we do know about your horse is that he is a lot quicker than Menengate. Menengate's a very strong horse. Your horse is a very quick horse. I guess you think you have the best horse, so you want to back him in, though?
Yeah, that's right, to a point. He's sat outside Menengate a couple of times and hasn't been good enough to beat him, and not many horses have. I don't think he's probably been beaten when he's, or maybe once when he's been in front, but... I've always felt if you'd reversed the runs, that the times that followed the stars had been beaten, you probably would have reversed the result as well.
Mark, Cody Winnell here. You've got a big team, obviously, in there on Sunday, but just on follow the stars. Still, if there was a sprint lane in operation at Ballarat, would you have won at the weekend? And also, what sort of improvement do you think follow the stars will make from that semi into the final?
Well, yeah, certainly if there was a sprint lane, I think he would have won it because it was only a matter of sort of being 20 yards... probably earlier getting out, and I think he would have just beaten Menengate. But improvement, he'd missed the race the week before that didn't get off the ground, so I thought he was a little bit vulnerable, but he was pretty strong right throughout the running and finished it off well. So I think there has been improvement in him, definitely, but they should be better this week.
Well, Mark, we could wax lyrical about your runners for hours and hours. We'll go to our Waikiki Beach. He's probably the absolute star of the team. He's done a massive job all season. I know you've compared him in the last couple of weeks to Follow the Stars last season, who I don't think many people thought they had seen a much better two-year-old in the last 10 or 15 years. In that comparison, are you still quite confident that he's a little bit quicker than Follow the Stars at the same time last season?
Oh, yes, I think so. I do think he has got more speed, and puppies, he feels a nicer horse to sit behind. He was a great young horse, Follow the Stars, and this guy, I think, has just got a little bit more scope to him, and, I think he's probably a real Derby horse next year.
Barrier 7, obviously never ideal, Mark, but, the bookmakers have responded by still opening our Waikiki Beach very, very short. What about your confidence levels after you drew Barrier 7, obviously with Shadow Sacks drawn pole and Zidana drawn 8?
Yes, look, he's looked a class above his opposition all year, and, there's nothing really there that's going to change my mind. I still think only bad luck had beat him.
And Our Dream About Me will go to the other side of the two-year-old division. She's again been awesome all season. She was just super on Jules Day. She came out last time and there was probably a bit of debate between Heaven's Trend and her. You had the barrier disadvantage, but your filly did everything right. She is drawn awkwardly. Is that a problem, or do you think, again, she's probably just a cut above the two-year-old fillies?
I still think she'd be the hardest to beat. It won't be easy, but, I think she has that bit of class about her, and I still think she'll be the one to beat.
And just what about Highgate? That looks a cracking contest in the trot. You've obviously done well with the barrier draw there, Mark. You've drawn the pole, but Miss Andai's drawn to follow you. Talking to Anthony Butt last night, he was saying that he panicked a bit at first when Highgate drew the pole, but then when he drew barrier 8, he was fairly pleased. How do you go in confidence level-wise with Highgate?
Yes, well, probably on their form. It looks to be between the two, and naturally I'll be trying to hold up there, and I'm sure Anthony will be trying to hold my back, and if that's the case, we'll probably be fighting it out of the finish.
Where trots racing is always more intense, on your digital radio, smartphones and the web. This is Carnival, your feature events channel.
Yes, Mark Purden joining the team from Gatespeed, and I just fancy he might find the winner's stall once or twice, maybe, on Sunday. Highgate's $1.25 from the pole. Miss Andai at $3.80. Parisian, is it Parisian Chic or Parisian Chic?
Don't
chic.
Get me started, John.
Chic.
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 Chic. Chic.
Parisian Chic. You'd be looking for a Parisian Chic. Wow. $13, and then $31 the rest, headed by Social Fireball. Is it a race in two, Blake?
Absolutely it is. It's a race in two for sure and certain. You were speaking about Mark Burton having maybe one or two winners. I think Tab are betting with their fixed odds specials. Mm-hmm. Going to Racing Extras. Vic specials are Purden Purge. So you can have the four big guns. You're getting a good price about that. Maybe $4.50 about Waikiki Beach, Dream About Me, Highgate, and Follow the Stars. Mm. So that's a handy little bet for those that want a little bit of sugar on top. Mm. But in terms of this race...
It's Racing Extras, is it?
Racing Extras are under the Tab banner, Vic specials, Harness specials. You'll be able to find it there.
Oh, yes, very good. Gee, you have been doing some work.
Well, a little bit of research never goes astray. For
Breeders' Crown head to head. So which one do I look at? Breeders' Crown head to head?
A Purden Purge or a
specials?
Specials. Just one of the specials.
Ah, Purden Purge. $4.50. So what do I do?
You just back it, and if all four of them win,
$4.50.
You got a little bit of sugar on top compared to, say, you're all up, which would be paying about maybe $3.90.
Tick under four, probably. Tick under four.
But in terms of this race...
So yeah? Just on that, mm-hmm. So at $4.50, realistically, percentage-wise, what chance does he have to get four?
A $3.90 chance, realistically, I would say.
Which is about, 27, 28% chance. You'd think it'd be more than that, wouldn't you? Two of them look over the line, the 2 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
Our Waikiki Beach and Our Dream About Me, we could put them in one compartment.
Mm.
And then Highgate and Follow the Stars are in a different compartment. So, but Highgate's very, very short. I think you just said $1.25,
correct. JT. Now, you're cold here, aren't you?
Sorry?
You're cold on
Highgate. He's unwell.
No, you're cold on Highgate.
Oh. I am. Both. I think I am suffering from a cold, but I also, I am cold on Highgate. I think that's a ridiculous price, $1.25. She's a nice professional filly. She's done a great job in New Zealand. And come over here and won the Redwood after being able to find the front start. But Miss Andai made up, I don't know, three lengths in the last sort of 200 metres on her on Redwood Day. There's no doubt the gap's compressed. Miss Andai's got the turn of foot. There's another horse here. I'll let Blake finish his analysis. But Blake, you said for sure and certain it's a two-horse race.
Yep,
well, I'm saying Parisian Chic.
Nope.
Is a big winning hope, but I'll let you continue and tell us what your numbers are.
Well, the reason it won't happen is because that Highgate will lead. Massey and I will trail. There will be not a whole lot of pressure. I think Parisian Chic will probably go around and get to the chair at some stage, won't be applying too much pressure. And for that reason, the peg line will dominate, in my opinion. I think Highgate, you're right, she's the professional one. Again, I don't think there's quite as much between them as the market might suggest, but I think she deserves to be a clear-cut favourite. I think she'll probably be winning... But Miss Andai certainly can't be discounted. If you're looking for one at big odds, I reckon Cobbler Creek goes pretty good. And if it just drops onto that three-peg run there for Jenny Johnson and Paul Campbell, could certainly be getting out late and running to the line. So, while I concede Parisian Chic is at least in the mix, I just think the 1-8 will dominate the race the way it will pan out.
Well, I got three winning hopes, and if you're playing early quaddies, then I'd be saying throw in 1, 7, and 8. I'm with Blake. That it'll be leader behind leader for the two Kiwi hopes, or the Kiwi and the ex-Kiwi, Highgate and Miss Andai. I think Miss Andai will probably beat Highgate home because she has got that turn of foot. I'm not sure that Highgate, as I mentioned, is a really professional little filly, but I'm not sure she's any sort of superstar. And to be honest, if Blake Fitzpatrick gets aggressive, puts Parisian Chic in the chair and is willing to apply some pressure... I think she's a massive winning hope at around $13. Massive winning hope. In fact, the best value bet on the program is Parisian Chic. So 1, 7, and 8. I've gone with 8 Miss Endo just on top of Parisian Chic and Highgate. But this is one of the real short price favourites of the day I think you can risk.
Third race, guys, at 1:45. This is the three-year-old Colts and Geldings Trotters division. I should be just under the entree by this stage, up in the tall in the room. I'll give you a wave,
yes,
guys.
We'll be out working hard, yeah, of course.
Having the queen, pie
for those that can't see it.
$1.30 Speeding Spur, Illawong Andrew at $4.50, Fabrication $8.50, then Valley SJ is $15. Another shorty here, Bonners.
And another one that's potentially vulnerable because Illawong Armstrong, I equated him to an equine Mike
see,
Tyson.
When I see $1.30, I get a bit cold when you say vulnerable,
yeah,
because if I'm going to take threes on, I don't want to hear that word vulnerable.
What if I declare it though, John?
Then he gets colder again. Then he shuts up shop completely.
I'll just put money in pocket then.
Yeah. I've mentioned this a number of times on this show that my concept of $1.30 to dollar, you know, a short price favourite is in
high
the trots,
bullying in front and bullying.
That's it. That you're guaranteed of getting the front that you could dominate and dictate from there. You do not want to be doing that with a horse like $1.30 from a second line draw, particularly when there's, and it has to be said, Illawong Armstrong, with all due respect, is half a nutcase, extraordinarily talented. In fact, probably as close to as talented as Speeding
Spur.
Like
you, Chase.
Yeah, well, correct. That's right.
Good analogy.
And you can't trust, when I'm around, you can't trust what's going to happen. Nothing's predictable, and there's nothing predictable when Illawong Armstrong's in a race, so... too short for mine. Another one of the shorties I'll be staying out of. And again, if you're playing those early quarties, I'll be throwing in Illawong Armstrong because despite the fact he's a nutcase, he is brilliant at his best. And Fabrication's a really professional little character. Vic Brad Super Series winner. Should find the pegs first then hand up to Illawong Armstrong. So I concede Speeding Spur was extraordinary in the Victoria Trotters Derby Blackie Boy, but I think the $1.30 is too short, mate.
I disagree. I think it's the right price. I'd be happy to throw him in multiples. He's proven in two Victorian runs this preparation. He's broken track records at Maryborough and then Melton. He took on the older horses at Melton and absolutely gave them a caning after beating similar horses to this in the Victoria Trotters Derby.
He led there, yeah?
So he led from what barrier?
Outside the second line. So he got a clear run to the lead.
And he's following through who in this race?
He's following through Fabrication.
Fabrication will go straight to the front. He'll follow him through. And if Illawong Armstrong's not on his game, Speeding Spur could
Mason
be in
coming
front.
Through there, wasn't there?
Well, Speeding Spur could genuinely be in front of Illawong Armstrong.
Examining you.
Unfortunately, Blake might not have realised that Fabrication's not all that quick, so it's not like he's just going to ping to the lead and one's going to follow through, and there's just going to be this magical opening for it.
Well, if he holds Fabrication...
Like Jared Haynes for the San Francisco 49ers, just through that.
If he holds Fabrication's back all the way through, then Illawong Armstrong ain't getting in nowhere, and Speeding Spur will be underneath him before
Illawong
he
Armstrong
realises.
Will be if Jody Quinlan wants to, Illawong Armstrong will be in front after 18 metres.
We'll wait and see, I guess. Right. No firm opinion. I don't have a strong opinion on it. I just believe that Speeding Spur is the best horse. I think he could sit outside of Illawong Armstrong. I think he could park if he had to. I think he can lead if he has to. He just has too many tricks from what we've seen him in Victoria. He's just going to be too strong. I could see that Illawong Armstrong could make it an absolute war and that would change things somewhat. But in terms of if everything went to what you could reasonably expect, I think that Speeding Spur will just be too good. Fabrication and Illawong Armstrong are clearly your next bracket, and then there's a good gap back to the likes of Kai Valley, Boomerang, Valley SJ. And if you are looking for one to back at 100-1, maybe just trying to place, I know Bonners are going to have a chuckle, but this is one of mine.
Bit more French here, JT.
Col du Galibier.
Col du Galibier.
Of course, very famous, made famous by the Tour de France, a big mountain in the Tour every so often, every couple of years. But this horse has a lot of ability. Gallops all the time, galloped last time. Made up an extraordinary amount of ground
in
his heat.
Did catch the eye.
So at 100-1, he's the one I'd entertain getting through late for a place. But if you're playing all ups, he goes in for mine. I think he's the safe way to go Speeding Spur in the multiples.